Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're live. We don't tape our show here. We're live, for better or for worse. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I had a good weekend.
Did you?
Got my yard mowed, got some yard work done, a little weed eating.
We've jumped right into summer here where we live.
Oh, yes, we have.
Huh?
We have.
From winter to summer. Didn't even have much of a spring.
Yeah, it's...
Now, maybe it'll cool back down here. I don't know.
Tim. Tim.
I know.
Maybe it'll cool back
down. Mr. Optimist.
Yeah.
Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. Good to be here.
We're going to have to wait till October for cool weather.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We're
doomed.
Personally, give me hot weather over cold weather any day.
I know. And
any day. Yeah, I've gone on record there.
Yeah.
It is unusually hot for this.
Where we live here in
early May.
Here in Northeast Mississippi, but it's the heat across most of the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which in Wisconsin, they're not complaining. I'll tell you that right now. Huh? Heat to them, 68. Huh?
Yeah.
Heat to folks in the upper Midwest is 68, and where Fred Jackson hails from. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, and God created air conditioning.
Aren't we all thankful to be born in the era of air conditioning?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I don't know how many times I say, how did people make it without air conditioning? And there are people today in parts of the world,
no air conditioning. Well, I think it's the old, you don't miss what you never had type thing. But, all right, Walker, what are we doing on that there internet?
Yes. Yeah, we're live streaming on Facebook. Facebook has still not blocked us yet, so we're still.
Tell them.
Yeah. Well, it's the obvious.
Don't tip them off.
They know we're here.
Okay.
We're live streaming on Facebook. I also post the news stories there, so if you want to read farther into what we talk about here on the show, you can always find the links there. And we're on YouTube. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues in the search bar. And then lastly, we're always on the World Wide Web.
Always?
Always. 24/7, 365.
24/7 what?
365.
365.
Yeah. And of course, like you said, in leap year.
Yeah, leap year.
I'm reading your mind there.
But I get to, I get your
Yeah, we're on the internet at afr.net. afr.net if you want to go to our website.
Okay, one other question, Walker, for you, and then we'll get to Fred because we got some pretty big news. But how's the remodeling effort there going for your home there?
It's going very good. I'm very pleased with it.
Yeah.
I got a worker, a local guy that I know here, known for a while, and he's moving along very fast. You know, a lot of renovation projects, building projects, they go on for months and months and months. Guys don't show up to work. But my fella is doing his job, doing it well.
Well, the reason I asked Walker's, you need to take some pictures because Walker's doing a real HGTV job.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Chip Gaines has nothing on.
No.
Have you taken any pictures like before? Oh, good.
Yeah,
well,
I've taken before. I'm going to do before pictures and I'm going to take after pictures. But we've been taking down a load-bearing wall. I demoed a bathroom. All the flooring's coming up. New windows, new front door. So it's a big project.
And he's sweating. It's manly work, Ed.
but I promised, I set a goal for myself and my wife's ready to move in. She was ready to move in before we even started demoing.
Right.
But I told her June 4th is when I'd like to be
target
wrapping things.
Really?
Yeah, and my builder's probably throwing stuff right now. The guy who's, no, I'm kidding.
That sounds quick.
Yeah, but that would be about a month for all this. So anyways, I aim for the sky and maybe hit somewhere in the middle.
Well,
if that's what the saying
is. I'll just say this, and I don't mind admitting this. Walker did not get this from me. Because I'm not remodeling squat.
I might remodel my pizza a little bit. You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, there you go.
Add some mushrooms, maybe take off some
I'm
anchovies.
With you right there, Ed. But God just made some people out to do that kind of work.
Well, it's like I traveled somewhere recently.
I can sweep.
You can sweep.
I swept good.
And there's a place for that, Tim. Yeah. There really is.
Yeah. You swept good.
But I went somewhere recently with Brian Fisher. We were talking, he and his wife, Debbie. and we were talking about, and I and we both realized that we are not mechanically inclined. And I said, here's the thing, you know, because guys will talk about, you know, doing this, or the trim rebuilt the transmission and all that. And I said, I can change the oil, that kind of thing, change a tire.
Right.
But I said, I can't do it, and I have absolutely no desire to learn. You know what I'm saying? No desire to learn.
I know. Why you pay somebody to do that, right?
Well, that's...
Yeah. All right, Fred Jackson, big news from Israel, right?
Historic day, May 14, 2018, is the day that the United States opened up its brand new embassy in Jerusalem. It's been coming for a long time. The president made the announcement last December, and today's the big day. 800 invited guests, Ivanka Trump unveiling the plaque. Now, this building they're moving into, let's be clear, it has been there for a while. The United States has had a consulate in Jerusalem, but the embassy has been in Tel Aviv, where the other countries keep their embassy. Over the squabble of the world, for the most part, not wanting to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But President Trump, unlike other presidents since, 1995, there was an act passed that the United States would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But there was a proviso in there that every 6 months, the president could basically change his mind. Mm-hmm. And so Republican and Democratic presidents have been doing that. They promised during election campaigns, going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. But President Donald Trump is the first. So what we want to do for you right now is play a little bit of what everybody heard and saw this morning. It was 8 o'clock our time central, 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Jerusalem when all this occurred. So this just happened in the last couple of hours. It's going to last about 2.5 minutes. You'll recognize some of the voices. We'll fill in the blanks right after we hear. This is a montage, a kind of a collection of the various speeches, what happened this morning in Jerusalem with the opening of the U.S. Embassy there.
Freeze it! Arms!
Oh, say, can you see by...
Tammy and I welcome you to the opening and dedication of the United States Embassy in Jerusalem, Israel. The United States established its consulate in Jerusalem in 1844, 104 years before the birth of the State of Israel. And President Lincoln, relaxing for the first time in years as the Civil War came to an end, told his wife, Mary, that it was finally time for him to take some rest, and he expressed his hope and desire to visit the holy city of Jerusalem. Many say that those were his last words as he sat next to her in Ford's Theater. I think President Lincoln is smiling today as another great Republican, Donald J. Trump, opens our embassy in the city that Lincoln admired so much.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thanking you for bringing us to this momentous occasion in the life of your people and in the history of our world.
And we continue to support the status quo at Jerusalem's holy sites, including at the Temple Mount, also known as Haram al-Sharif.
The baffled king composing hallelujah.
May the opening of this embassy in this city spread the truth far and wide, and may the truth advance a lasting peace between Israel and all our neighbors. God bless the United States of America. And God bless Jerusalem. Eloheinu melech haolam, shechiyanu vekiymanu vehegiyanu lazman hazeh.
Let the word go forth from Jerusalem today that Israel lives. Shout it from the housetops that Israel lives. Let every Islamic terrorist hear this message. Israel lives. Let it be heard in the halls of the United Nations. Israel lives. Let it echo down the marble halls of the presidential palace in Iran. Israel lives. Let it be known to all men that Israel lives, because he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
That last voice there was Reverend John Hagee.
The unmistakable voice.
Yes. San Antonio, Texas. We spoke, Robert Jeffress, Pastor Robert Jeffress, First Baptist Dallas, gave the opening prayer there. He spoke to us on Janet Medford's program on Friday. He was on his way. He was in New York on his way to Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem, this opening. And he said what an honor it was to be invited. Several senators, United States senators there, Ted Cruz there, Lindsey Graham was there. And I believe we have a cut of Lindsey Graham on how important this is. Cut number five.
Of all the things President Trump could have done to tell Israel we have their back, making Jerusalem the capital is the strongest signal he could have sent. In 1995, we voted 95-3 to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Trump's the first president to actually make it happen by moving the embassy. It's an unequivocal statement in very difficult times. I just left the prime minister's office, and he says, of all the things President Trump could have done, doing this is the strongest signal it gets into the Israeli people.
So there you have it.
May I correct the senator there?
Okay.
We didn't make Jerusalem the capital. We recognized.
Yes.
Right. I know what he meant, but I just for technical clarification there, and I'm big on technical clarification, you know.
And I also understand there were a lot of Democrats that attended this important event.
Yeah.
Lots of Democratic senators and members of
Congress. And that would come under the heading of fake news.
Fake news, that's right. Not a single Democrat showed up.
Not even Chuck Schumer himself,
Not even Chuck Schumer.
Nope.
You know, what's interesting about this is the kind of scandal that would have to occur for a new president to reverse this.
Oh.
Now that Trump has done this, mm-hmm. with the embassy, I mean, can you imagine the uproar? What message would it send for the United States now to reverse course under another administration? President Trump has not only done a very courageous thing, but he has, in a sense, made this permanent, barring some sort of a huge break in relationships.
You know, this, by the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're live video streaming the show today on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues and you can watch the show there. I'm Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred. This should not be, this is quite frankly, how do I say this, a formality, all right? If you go to Israel, the government of Israel is in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
The Knesset, which is the equivalent of our capital, or our Congress, is in Israel, is in Jerusalem. Our hotel that we stay in is just right down the street from there, that I've stayed in many times from the Knesset. The Prime Minister's residence is in Jerusalem. Israelis government controls Jerusalem and has. So this should not be a, it should have been done a long time ago, but when I say formality, it's only not a formality because you expect the outrage from the left and from some of the Muslim countries who object to the very existence of Israel in the first place. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So President Trump's only done, as he said, this is a big, I don't want to diminish in any means the significance of this and the importance of this and the boldness of this on the part of President Trump, but he's only doing what the United States Congress authorized in the mid-90s, way back to the mid-90s. It's just that presidents, both Republican and Democrat, have not wanted to do this because they were scared of the reaction of Muslim countries, and for the most part, that would have been the only reason you didn't do this. They'll have some flare-ups here, in Israel, but nothing, anything that they can't handle, and that I personally think won't be over in a few days. We'll see what happens. But when I say a few days, there's always something happening in that part of the world.
Yeah.
You got the Muslim extremist, if that's what you want to call them, the Al-Qaeda types, Walker,
mm-hmm.
guess what? They're attacking the Saudi government right now. So this is going to be a perpetual situation.
Yeah, much of the Palestinians, many of the Palestinians, and really a lot of the countries in the Middle East, I say a lot, a handful of them view Israel as that they view Israel in the context that they should not even exist. Iran says that. Others say that. They say Israel should be. We need to push Israel into the ocean, into the Mediterranean. So when you have that mindset to start out, then you can't even have an honest negotiation about where we should put the embassy or not, because they think that all the Israelis should be dead. So there's no point in trying to consider the thoughts of the Palestinians.
Let me just say this:
to negotiate.
Yeah, you're right. The Hamas.
Right.
Yes, those people, even the Abbas and those. Let me just say this. This is, again, my personal opinion based on years of traveling to Israel and working with many Arabs who would also be called Palestinians, I guess, in that country. If you could take a secret poll and you wouldn't have Hamas standing there, or, you know, it's kind of like the mob living down the street from you, and you're not going to say anything bad about them because you know they're coming to your house if you do. But if you could speak freely... without threat, I think the average Palestinian doesn't care about this because they are happy living in Israel. Do they like some of the rules that exist and some of the ways sometimes they are, you could say, mistreated? No, but living in Israel for an Arab, if I have seen surveys of this, is much better than living in many many Muslim countries.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they have a high. How do I say this? Their lifestyle is much better than it would be in some of these poor Muslim countries that exist,
or even on the Gaza Strip.
The Gaza Strip, that is a place of squalor and poverty, but it's because a lot of that's because the. Yasser Arafat's and people have just stolen money from their own people over the decades, and have not seek. And a lot of here we go again. This may be misinterpreted, but I'm just going to tell it like it is. Islamic religious teaching is very fatalistic. All right, it's hopeless. There's not any. There's not much teaching of a work ethic that you can you can better yourself,
climb
that,
the ladder.
Yes, that success. God God cares about you helping people around you, whatever religion they are. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, for many of the Muslims, especially in the Muslim dominant countries, it's, if you ask them about something, it's whatever Allah wills.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So Israel has a very, they produce a lot for their size. They've changed the country in many ways. It's westernized in many ways. It's an ancient country, but it's very westernized. And so the Arabs who live there, 20%, they benefit from this, from the wealth, oftentimes. Again, it's not a perfect world, but I'm just saying, I've seen surveys of Arabs living in Israel, and they're happy living there with the rights that they do have, as opposed to living in even Muslim countries that they would not have the same lifestyle that they enjoy in Israel. I hope that makes sense. I'm trying to be balanced there. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Again, the big news today is just a few hours ago, the embassy, the U.S. embassy, was officially opened in Jerusalem. And Ivanka Trump is there representing her father, the president, and there are other dignitaries there as well.
Her husband, Jared Kushner, made quite a speech there today. He was one of the key speakers there.
Yeah. All right, Fred, what else you got?
We mentioned that Pastor Jeffress, Robert Jeffress, First Baptist Dallas, gave the opening prayer there.
Yes.
Well, one person who wasn't happy with Pastor Jeffress doing that was Mitt Romney. Now, Mitt Romney is running for an open Senate seat in Utah. But Mitt Romney last night tweeted out that he didn't think Pastor Jeffress should be there because he referred to Pastor Jeffress as a religious bigot. And the reason he did that is that Pastor Jeffress, without apology, says Jesus is the only way of salvation. And so Mitt Romney is saying that's very offensive to Muslims and people of other religions. And so he condemned. But Pastor Jeffress did not mind responding to that claim from Mitt Romney. He defended, Pastor Jeffress did, his view that salvation is through faith in Christ alone. Pastor Jeffress points out historic Christianity has taught that for 2,000 years, that salvation is through faith in Christ alone. And the fact that I, this is Jeffress speaking, along with tens of millions of evangelical Christians around the world, continue to espouse that belief is neither bigoted nor newsworthy. End of statement.
Well, I think Mitt Romney has never forgiven Dr. Jeffress for saying that Mormonism is a cult. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Robert Jeffress, Pastor Jeffress, again, First Baptist Church of Dallas, good friend of this ministry. He's an advisor to President Trump. But the fact that Robert Jeffress is not going to compromise on these historic Christian beliefs, he's not going to compromise on the nature of human sexuality or marriage or the, you know, on pro-life issues, is a great boon to the rest of the evangelical church. And, you know, Mitt Romney, frankly, is being disingenuous. If he is a good Mormon, he holds to his religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. He's gonna say that Muslims can't go to heaven unless they are Mormon. So I'm not sure why he thinks this is going to help him as he runs for this Senate seat in Utah. But I think it's just, I think this guy holds a grudge all this time.
Yeah, you know what? The word bigot just has lost its meaning today. Mm-hmm. I looked it up last night, and it basically means, bigotry means having a, you know, being against somebody just because, you know, because you have an animosity against that particular whatever out there. So a bigot, what Robert Jeffress has said, like you said, Ed, quite frankly, if you're a good Mormon, there's a reason why Mormon missionaries knock on my door wanting to talk to me about converting to their church.
And even when you tell them you're a Christian, mm-hmm. they still tell you need to convert.
Yeah. Yes. And why is that? If I'm the same, if we're the same, then why are you trying to convert me?
Right.
We're evidently not the same. Now, if you want a good neighbor, Mormons are the ones you want to live by.
Right.
Okay? Because they are clean living, moral, patriotic, good people. Friendly, family friendly. I mean, they model that, all those values and the virtues. However, the teaching of the LDS Church is not the same as the teaching of what I subscribe to, and that is evangelical or what we call Bible-believing Christianity. I mean, it doesn't take long to look at the differences between the LDS teaching and evangelical Christianity to see that that's the case.
Right.
Am I a bigot because I don't believe that Mormons believe the same way I do or Muslims believe the same way I do? I don't mean I hate anybody or I want to, you know, but we have to acknowledge the differences between belief systems doesn't qualify as bigoted.
Right.
So if you wanted just to say, I can't stand Group A, well, why, Tim? Just because that's the way I feel. I don't like Group A.
Yeah.
Because of the way they look. Well, that's a bigot.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 4-9 bigots. We'll be back in a minute.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined.
If we're going to say that God loves everybody, God wants everybody to be saved, why doesn't he demonstrate his presence more overtly through miracles, through signs and wonders? And why doesn't he do miracles like healing people when we know he could have.
All that and more on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Mitt Romney delivered a scurrilous charge against one of the nation's most prominent Christian pastors. Romney fired off a tweet accusing Dr. Robert Jeffers of being a religious bigot. He said the Southern Baptist pastor did not deserve to deliver a blessing at the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Dr. Jeffers offers spiritual counsel to President Trump, drawing ire from establishment Republicans like Romney. He also lashed out over past statements made by the pastor regarding Islam and Mormonism, calling the latter a heresy. Romney is a Mormon. However, Dr. Jeffers's remarks are not out of the mainstream in Christianity. Christians believe that a good Mormon, a good Muslim, or even a good Baptist cannot go to heaven without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a foundational tenet of Christianity. So if Mitt Romney thinks Dr. Jeffers is a bigot, what does he think about the rest of us? I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, some people call me an opportunist. I think that's a good word. So I'm going to take this opportunity based on our talk about the new embassy there in Jerusalem by the U.S. to say, we're going to the Holy Land next March. I guess I don't even need to put next there, right? Just March.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. We're going to the Holy Land in March, our annual tour of Israel. And if you would like to go with us or you want to take a look at this trip, we are leaving March the 14th. Be back 22nd. All the information on our Holy Land trip is available at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Everything is there. If you want to check it out, because I don't know what happened last year, but we like filled up in like August. So that had never happened before. Usually we fill up in December. So a lot of Christians wanting to go see Israel. 70th anniversary of the forming of the nation of Israel. So go to the website twholyland.com for all the information on our tour. My wife and I, Allison, we lead the tour. We don't sign you up and then, you know, some groups you sign up with and the person you say you're going to go with makes three appearances in Israel, you know. We don't do that. Allison and I do the – we take care of you from the time you get to the airport in New York. Now we have a good attitude most of the time about that. We have, but you know,
Allison has a good attitude all the time though.
She does.
Wouldn't
she
you say that, Tim?
I would say that, Ed.
Good save, Ed. Good save.
I would say that, Ed. But hey, no, it's a lot of fun traveling with listeners to AFR, especially our supporters of AFA. We're kind of a family in that way. So if you'd like to go with us, check it out, twholyland.com. Now, if you want a brochure sent to you into your mailbox, you don't want to mess with that there, Internet, as Ed says. You can just call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option number 5. Just touch number 5 on your phone and leave us your name and your address, and we will send you a brochure today on that trip in March. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Is our guest on? Dr. Michael Brown is with us now. Dr. Brown has the program Firing. What is it called, Michael?
Line of Fire. Firing line was William Buckley, who I am not. Line of Fire. Yeah, so we air during the week and then on AFR on Sunday afternoons.
Can you imitate William F. Buckley? He had a very distinct speaking style.
As you lean back in your chair.
Lean back, you know. That was...
A lot of people don't even know who we're talking about.
You don't even have to say Walker.
Walker doesn't know William F. Buckley. He probably knows that name. Line of Fire, hosted by Dr. Michael Brown. Michael, we were watching a video you produced the other day. You want to tell us, our listeners, about it? Because I think it's something every Christian could benefit from.
Yeah, it is what people are calling our very best video ever, which is saying something because we have almost 1,300 videos on our Ask Dr. Brown YouTube channel, ASKDR Brown. But this one, in 6 minutes, answers the question, can you be gay and Christian? And in 6 minutes, we present the foundational biblical argument. We respond to the most common arguments from gay activists and their allies. And then we end with hope and give a scriptural perspective. So I really worked on it. It's the result of really years of study to understand issues and put them in 6 minutes, to do it clearly with love, and then to work with a graphics company so that it's really well illustrated. And this is really a team effort to do it because we were addressing this whole idea of I'm a gay Christian, I'm a gay conservative, etc. And we really felt, because there were some professional videos put out kind of giving that argument recently, that we needed to counter it. And it's really getting great responses. And we've done the hard work now. If folks just watch it and share it, it would be awesome. So it's on the Ask Dr. Brown YouTube channel, ASKDR Brown, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And this way we can really help educate it and dispel some myths and rumors.
Okay, then how much do you want to give away of the video? Because I can ask you some questions right now.
Go for it.
Why would God make somebody, Michael? All right, let's assume that sounds... God made us, right?
Yeah.
He made every one of us.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so... Why would God make somebody and then give them same-sex attraction? That seems cruel to me. Well, how do you answer that one?
Yeah, so the first thing is there's no evidence, scientific or otherwise, that anyone is actually born gay. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we know that human beings have chosen a sinful path, and therefore every human being has fallen and broken in some way. We might as well say, well, why did God make me proud, or why did God make me angry, or why did God make me lustful, or why did God make me greedy? No, we recognize all of these desires are sinful. You know, when people say, I was born this way, we give them the soundbite answer. Jesus said, you must be born again. So God made everything good. Man sinned because of sin. The whole human race has been corrupted. That's why we need a redeemer and a savior. So scientifically, there's no reputable evidence that anyone is, quote, born gay. And on a spiritual level, we know that every human being is born spiritually defective and in need of a savior. But when it comes to homosexuality, the best we can tell is that people may have a predisposition to go in a certain direction, but then through environment and things around them, that's what ends up fixing desires in them. So no one says it's just easy, and you can just snap your fingers and decide, okay, I'm just going to go from homosexual to heterosexual today and go on with a happy life. If that was the case, many more would do it. But we know that when Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6:11, he gives a list of sinful behaviors, including men having sex with men, and says that's what some of you once were. So Jesus can change anybody, including gays, doesn't matter what.
Also, how do you, can you choose your sexuality?
Well, it depends on what you mean by sexuality. The Bible deals with behavior. In other words, the Bible deals with men having sex with men or women having sex with women. The Bible deals with the meaning of marriage. So one man with one woman for life. We can make choices about what we do with our sexual desires and romantic attractions, but they don't define us. That's a major point we make in the video. Why is it that people put gay in front of their Christian description? What if you struggle with gossip? Are you a gossiping Christian? What if someone else struggles with anger? Are they an angry Christian? Here's a heterosexual guy struggles with lust. Is he a lustful Christian? So those things don't identify us. We identify as being in Jesus and followers of Jesus. So the desires that we have, the attitudes we have, we don't always choose them. We choose how we respond to them. And then in the Lord, we can say no to wrong desires and be renewed so that those things can actually change.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show. We're talking to Dr. Michael Brown from
Line of Fire.
Yeah, that. And
it's a Monday.
I'm sorry, Michael. It's embarrassing.
That's all right, man. I can do the talking. You guys just sit back and relax.
Give us. I don't want to give everything away that you do within this video because people need to go watch this.
It's outstanding.
Yes. Give us where people can watch it again. Then Fred's got another question for you.
Sure thing. They can watch it a couple places. They can watch it on our YouTube channel. So that's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on YouTube. Just watch Can You Be Gay and Christian? And share it. Please share it with your friends. Post it, social media. Also, on my website, AskDrBrown.org, A-S-K-D-R Brown.org, you'll see a banner right on the homepage that says, Consider This. Click on that.
All right, Michael, are you logged on to Facebook? Can you see our show?
I'm getting there right now.
Tell me when you're there. We'll just talk amongst ourselves.
Okay, and this is American Family Radio on Facebook.
Just type in Today's Issues. Today's Issues on Facebook. Today's Issues Live. Tell me when you're there. Okay.
All right, let's see here. Okay, Today's Issues. Clicking on it right now. Boy, you guys look sharp in that picture.
Do you see me?
Okay, here we are. Here we are. I see you guys. I see all the commotion.
Okay. Do you see what I have on my head?
Well, I can see that you're wearing something.
Well, it's not the Pope's hat.
Okay, Line of Fire. There you are. That's the problem. You can't read it.
I know, so I don't know how I'm ever going to get the name of
the
show.
That's the problem, man. If when it's on your head, I can see it, but others can't. So if you turn it around, you'll get it right.
Light of Fire.
There you go.
Dr. Michael Brown. All right, Fred, you got a question for Dr.
Yeah,
Brown.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, I know you're following events in Israel today. How significant is this?
This is massively significant for many reasons. It's massively significant. And by the way, Tim, when you mentioned your Israel tours going with people the entire time, that means a lot because when I do the tour, I actually spend a lot of time with folks in the night and things like that and meet them in certain places, but I'm not able to be on it all day. So folks that want to go on the tour with Tim and his family, that's a good thing to do. So in short, the move today is of massive significance, and there are quite a number of reasons for it. It's a right thing to do, and it's a righteous thing to do. It's a right thing to do in that Jerusalem is Israel's functioning capital. It's very simple. That's where all the principal buildings are and government organizations that have to do with capital, just like Washington, D.C. Jerusalem is Israel's functioning capital. That's one. Number two, all the way back in the days of Bill Clinton, it was already determined that we would move the embassy to Jerusalem. And every president since has delayed it, delayed it, delayed it. President Trump, to his credit, has acted on his promise to move it. Number three, we know from prophetic scriptures that Jesus will come back to a Jewish Jerusalem. So we also know that, there'll be a world opposition to a Jewish Jerusalem. So whether this is leading directly up to that or not, it's definitely a step in the right direction. And then lastly, pragmatically, it's important for the Muslim world to know this is Jerusalem's capital.
Yeah.
This is the place for hundreds and hundreds of years that Jews have said next year in Jerusalem, this is something of great importance and significance. And there are riots today in Gaza, many Palestinians killed, again, the result of rioting and, attacking
fault.
The...
That's their fault. Just don't riot. Don't riot, and you don't get killed.
Yeah, it's a terrible shame, but it didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
But I think that the protests will calm down because basically America is saying this is the way it is.
Right.
That's the reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all right, listen, Michael. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate your ministry and putting that video together. Hope everybody goes and watches it. It is excellent.
And, awesome. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right.
Dr. Michael Brown, host of All Together Now.
Line of Fire.
We'll never forget that.
And I'll never forget the sight of Tim Wildman with a piece of paper on his head, forehead.
Line of Fire. Well, I couldn't remember it, and I was trying to make it go osmosis into my brain. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Walker's getting a little more comfortable with that show he hosts on the weekend.
Yes, this past weekend, this past Saturday at 2:30 Central, I talked about...
What's that show again?
Exposing Washington.
Anyway.
Yeah, this weekend I talked about how President Trump should fire Robert Mueller. I outlined the process to do that, who's involved, Attorney General
Jeff
Sessions.
You know then, since you did that, you're going to be next to be investigated by the Mueller.
Well, they'll probably find some speeding tickets and all kind of stuff. If they go fishing,
well, they could come
$2.
I'm just saying they could, if they really want to do some investigating, they come out and help you remodel your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's come out, put some sheetrock.
Sure, tell him, say, sure, I'll talk to Robert Mueller, but he's going to come out and
do some sheetrock.
Yeah. Do some sheetrock. I'll talk to him all day long.
And Walker is my son. That being said, you are doing an excellent job with that show, and it's getting better and better. It takes a little time to get used to doing radio by yourself.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't know. I've never done it. But anyway, Exposing Washington, do you have a Facebook page or something like that?
I have a Twitter account, so if you want to follow me on Twitter, I post a lot of the news stories there during the week. And, of course, you can visit the podcast page on our website, afr.net.
So how do I listen to the podcast of Exposing Washington?
Yeah, you can. Many of you have smartphones, so you can download the podcast on your phone, or you can just visit our website, afr.net, and listen to the podcast there.
Brad, when do we got this summit between the president, did you call it a summit, President Trump and the Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, when is that coming
June
up?
12th in Singapore.
June 12th in Singapore. What's going to happen there?
Well, I think most of the work will be done prior to that. I expect what it'll be for the most part is a photo op. Kim Jong-un on the weekend confirmed that he is shutting down his missile launching capabilities, et cetera, et cetera. So, like I said, I think a lot of the work's going to be done by our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. And so when we get there in Singapore, I think there'll be a lot of photo ops.
Somebody has promised this guy a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Haven't they?
I'll tell you what they promised him, and I'm totally speculating here. I would want to bet that they've promised him, number one, that he will not be taken out. After he gives up his nuclear program, he will not be taken out, whether it be by assassination or military action.
Gotcha.
Number two, I would suspect that he has been guaranteed that sanctions will be lifted.
Yes.
Financial sanctions will be lifted, thus his economy,
yes.
Whatever kind of economy they have, probably not much, but that will be
re-energized. That'd be huge for them, yeah.
So his regime has more money.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe
one or two other things I can't think off the top of my head, but those two are big things.
Maybe even some aid, who knows?
Yes, some aid, some financial aid.
That's been talked about already through the weekend. What's part of the package that's going to happen, and financial aid, some kind of economic relief will be in there.
Yeah.
So right. he gets something out of it, but it all goes back. This President Trump has made this happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the 24/7 liberal news media that it's every day's a pinata day.
Yeah.
For those guys, and President Trump is the pinata, and he's just. Yeah, I was listening this morning coming into, I guess, Sandy Rios.
I listened to that, too.
And you had the comments of, okay, here was the context of what they had said. President Trump said it was a nice move on the part of, or something to that effect, on the part of this Kim Jong-un to release these three hostages.
Right.
Which, by the way, they were all Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They came home to America last week, and so you had this nitpicking Democrat, I think, or maybe been one of these liberal news talking heads on CNN, and he was saying, you know, this is not a nice man for President Trump to be calling this man nice. Is just yeah.
Yeah, and then others said, why did Kim Jong-un capture these people anyway? Arrested.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous. But my thing was, what often happens here with President Trump, and I've noticed this pattern, is that he says something, and he says something that could be interpreted one or two ways, and they take the worst way
right. And
try to exploit it. And what President Trump was saying is, and this is me talking, you dummy, is President Trump was not saying that Kim Jong-il is a nice man. You misrepresented what he said. It was a act. It was a nice act,
right,
for him to release these hostages. Not Kim Jong-un is a nice man. Well, this Democrat on there, and I forgot the fellow's name. Again, it may have been a liberal CNN commentator. He was making a whole issue about President Trump calling Kim Jong-un a nice man,
right?
Mm-hmm. As if everybody in the world knows this is not a nice man. For President Trump to call him a nice man is ridiculous. Well, that isn't what President Trump did. Hmm. They do this oftentimes with President Trump. It's kind of what happened in Charlottesville, if you remember back. I agree. President Trump could have said things a little bit better and maybe been more sensitive to the situation there. But he was not saying. They made it sound like President Trump is pro-KKK, mm-hmm. and he thinks these are nice people and good people, and they're the same as the other people who were there in Charlottesville demonstrating. He was not saying that. He was saying there was people doing bad things on both sides who were provoking the violence in the street there in Charlottesville. And if you look at the video, that's exactly what they were. There were Antifa people there. I saw one black fella with a flamethrower mm-hmm. in Charlottesville, you know, threatening to burn people. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what President Trump was referring to. Instead, the news media went and the Democrats went nuts. With he's a fan of the KKK.
Well,
you know, so they know these things aren't true.
The former administration.
Go ahead, Walker.
Under President Obama, they were sitting down negotiating with Iran at the same time that the mullahs were shouting "Death to America" every week. They were shouting "Death to America."
Right.
Kerry would embarrassingly go and sit down in Europe with the Iranians. If you can do that, then you can't criticize President Trump for saying that was a nice gesture. It's somehow we're stepping down and being nice to a dictator, you know, because the Iranians were shouting right. "Death to America," and we were negotiating, patting them on the back, bragging on how great they were. Meanwhile, they're shouting "Death to America."
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember the leftists, they've been saying this for years, that anything negative said against the United States is our fault, is America's fault. That if somebody is mad, angry with us, it's our fault. That's their default position.
That was President Obama's view.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why the world apology tour he went on.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So, and that's been ingrained. Just a couple of things. I know we have to go to news. Just a warning about the coverage that you're going to see on the major networks tonight about Israel and the embassy. What they're going to show you, now, I've already seen it this morning, is mostly what's happening over in Gaza. Now, what's happening in Gaza is Israel's defending itself against these rioters.
Right.
So you're going to see there's been about 40 people killed, the last report that I had. But they are people who are attacking the fence that separates Gaza from Israel. Mm-hmm. Some of them are they're throwing flamethrowers of some type over to try to set the fields on fire, et cetera, et cetera. But that's going to dominate, if I was a betting man, that's going to dominate the coverage tonight. And Donald Trump will be blamed for the death of those Palestinians. Mm-hmm. Right. That's going to drive it tonight. One more story, and this is interesting. Supreme Court decision this morning. The Supreme Court has struck down a federal law that bars gambling on football, basketball, baseball, and other sports in most states, giving states the go-ahead to legalize betting on sports. Now, up to now, apparently it's just been in Nevada, but now 32 states will likely take advantage of this. So you're going to have wholesale betting on all of these sports. That can turn into a disaster.
Wow. Well, now, what the reasoning was on the part of the Supreme Court?
Supreme Court on Monday struck down the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. The 1992 law barred state-authorized sports gambling with some exceptions. It made Nevada the only state. One research firm estimated before the ruling that Supreme Court were to strike down the law, 32 states. The court's decision came in a case from New Jersey, which has fought for years to legalize gambling on sports at casinos and racetracks in the state.
And this says Samuel Alito made this part of his opinion. The legalization of sports gambling requires an important policy choice, but the choice is not ours to make, talking about the Supreme Court. Congress can regulate sports gambling directly, but if it elects not to do so, each state is free to act on its own. Our job, again, speaking of the Supreme Court, is to interpret the law Congress has enacted and decide whether it is consistent with the Constitution. This law is not. So That's just looking at
I don't understand how News. This makes things any different. People already bet nationwide using Las Vegas bookies, right? Or using the casinos.
Well, but I think Nevada is the only state that's legal in. Hmm. So you can bet, I guess. I've never done it.
Practically speaking, how does this change anything? People in states all over the country bet on sports every day.
Well, I don't think it's legal. I mean, you can't, in other words, you could not, you personally, but a person in Mississippi could not set up a gambling place where the people of Mississippi could bet on the Ole Miss Mississippi State game. You can bet in Nevada, but you can't have legalized betting on sports in Mississippi or in Texas or in Washington State.
This just opens the door for casinos in Mississippi or in Atlantic City or other places that have legalized gambling. Now it's another place to get your money.
Yeah.
I don't mean to diminish gambling as a problem. I know people have addictions to that. I'm just saying I don't know. This is a game changer, so to speak. With gambling, people already gamble every day on all kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I think and I'm just going by what we're reading now in the story. But it's a difference when there were casinos in Nevada, in Las Vegas, and then when they tried to open them up in Mississippi or Louisiana. That makes it closer to another state and within another state and opens it up to people going to casinos here. Mm-hmm. For example,
but you already have you do have casinos in a lot of states.
The American Gambling Association,
and that's what this will do,
estimates that Americans illegally wager about $150 billion on sports each year. So they were doing it, but it was illegal.
You know what?
Technically,
I got the next job for Robert Mueller right there.
Investigate.
Investigate it.
Sports betting, huh? When you get through with President Trump 3 years from now, I think you need to come back and. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the second Trump administration. Mm-hmm. Then go ahead and move on to sports gambling. Thank you, Fred.
All righty.
Ed Walker, thank you. We'll be back in 5 minutes, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.